Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Tales Over Tales podcast. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Alicia.
And today is a great day. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Except I'm not looking forward to the heat that's coming. I'm not going to lie.
I think it's, I don't know. It's been good so far. I feel like this time last year, it was
real bad.
It was hotter than this.
Well, it's already going to, it's getting up there. We're hitting 100 Tuesday. On Tuesday. So
I need to invest in some shorts.
Yes.
Okay.
That would be a great idea if you haven't already.
Yes.
Life hack when you live in the desert.
Wear shorts.
Shorts are great.
Shorts and tank tops are a must.
Should we share highs and lows before we
before
we get into the book?
Yes.
And share what we're drinking?
Yeah, you go first. You tell me how you've been.
Oh my gosh.
How you doing?
This week was a little stressful.
Yeah.
So I'll start with my low. My dog was sick this week. That was pretty unfortunate.
Ooh.
Multiple times on the carpet. Oh, vomit. Geez. Not pleasing. Not great. He's doing much better, though. It did not require a vet visit. So good. Grateful for that. That was definitely a low, because you know how much I love my dog.
Did you do like the bland diet with the chicken and the rice?
He eats dry food.
But still, though.
And I give him just basic, like, dry treats.
Got it.
But I had taken him out this week to a gathering over at one of my friend's houses, and he had never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So he may have gotten into some stuff in the backyard.
Got it.
Not totally sure.
Yeah.
Because it was that evening when we came home that he started getting sick.
Right.
Anyway, doing fine. Another low, had to work on Saturday. Meh, that was a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
But whenever I work a Saturday, I get a weekday off. So I did enjoy a 3-day weekend this past weekend.
Nice.
So yeah, there you go. Those are my lows. Probably don't sound super crazy.
No.
oh my gosh, highs. So if listeners remember, I'm in grad school right now. I've had a couple of breaks in between classes, which has been really nice. I start my next class up in about, is it a week? May 3rd. We're recording this on the 24th. Yeah, so I have a little over a week until class starts, my next class starts. But I've been able to get a lot of wedding planning done. So that's great. Since our last podcast episode, I found my dress.
Nice.
That was really exciting. And yeah, just kind of counting down the days until Mark is officially here.
Yes.
And is a Phoenician, an Arizona resident.
I know. That's been something that you have been just on your mind.
Distance is not for the faint of heart, y'all.
No,
it is not at all.
Sure.
So,
but you've been doing it. Look at where it got you.
I know.
It got you a ring and a man that's coming all the way here from Kansas City.
Misery.
Oh no.
He's in misery without me.
There you go.
Anywho. Nice. All right. Enough about me.
Yes.
Because you've got some exciting stuff going on.
I do.
You ready to share?
Yes. I know. So this will also kind of be like the segue into what we're drinking as well. So no real lows except for just how I've been feeling, but highs for this month. So I did bring my boyfriend, Jermaine. You know, we do talk about you on the podcast. He's over here. And, you know,
he's all shy. He won't make eye contact. It's fine.
It's fine. it's all good things, I promise. But I brought him here so that way he can have this moment with us. Because I found out that I'm pregnant.
Yay!
Yes! I know. So, yeah. So that has been a journey, you know, just because, you know, I'm just not, I mean, like, thank goodness I haven't had any morning sickness. Like, nausea kind of comes and goes, but I've just been really tired. Mm. I've been really hungry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So cravings started a little early, which I thought was kind of funny, but so we are expecting, and we obviously don't know yet if we're having boy or girl, but we do know that baby is due in December.
Yay.
So, you know, it's gonna be I'm so excited.
I'm so happy for you, y'all. When she texted and told me, I was very, very happy. Because yeah. I know for a while before Jermaine was in the picture, mm-hmm. you weren't sure if you were going to have any more kids.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something that was definitely just up in the air because, you know, like I've told you before, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I'm, you know, found the right person, that, you know, this was going to be my, you know, my forever family. Yeah. And, you know, and so.
Did you hear that, Jermaine? Forever. A baby is a commitment.
Yes. and so, you know, and I just, that was just super important to me, you know, and yeah. now that I've found my forever life partner, you know, what better way to put that all together, and we're bringing a...
To have your blended family.
Yeah.
It's going to be so great. I am super happy for you.
Yeah, thank
so,
you.
So the Cocktails listeners will be on the solo.
Yes.
For so a little while.
Jordan's going to get drunk for us.
Exactly. But yes. Today I am in solidarity.
Yes.
Tell the listeners what we're drinking.
So we are drinking some sparkling cider.
Come on.
Let me see if I can crack this thing open. I have nails, so hold on. Bear with me for a second. Let's see if we can, if not.
Decided to do this in solidarity with her today. You got this. Oh, almost.
Wait, hold on. Wait. I want to see.
Please don't make a mess.
Oh. It's already.
Oh, no.
And now it's going over.
Yep. Yep. That's happening. That's happening. I think there's a sink outside.
We can clean.
We're gonna have Jermaine take that and open that for us.
I mean, it is very yummy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kind sir.
So while he goes and pops that open for us, because, oh my goodness.
Yes. Let's get into this freaking book.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
I am too.
Okay. So, listeners, you guys know we covered The Lies That Bind by Emily Giffen.
Yes.
This is her most recent book.
Mm-hmm.
She has one coming out, her next book coming out called Meant to Be by, it's being released May 31st. Thank you, Jermaine. Oh, my gosh,
yes,
such a saint.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, hold on. Appreciate you.
I'm gonna get some.
Yep, do it. Anyway, so yes, Emily Giffen is one of my favorite authors.
Yes.
I've read nearly every book. I actually went to her website the other day so that I could look at the complete list of her mm-hmm. books.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And there's only the one book that I haven't read. And Alicia will know what it is if she looks at the list. But it's the, out of her entire list, it's Something Blue.
Oh, yeah.
The one following Something Borrowed.
Yeah. I don't think I followed up on that either.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I just, anyway, all of her other books I've read and I loved, and this was no different. Do you want to kick us off and start telling listener about this story?
Yes. So this book is actually highlighted in the early, like, 2000s kind of time frame. So this is where we end up meeting our main character. Her name is Cecily. She's a journalist who is living out in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
She is originally from Midwest, like in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But she relocated to the city to go to school, which is also where she ended up meeting her ex, Matthew. Or her, you know. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway. So she recently had broke up with him. We aren't really sure how long they've been together, though. It's been...
Yeah. I was looking back in the book. I mean, they had been together through school.
Yeah.
And had been together for several years.
Yeah.
He was afraid of making a commitment. She mm-hmm. would bring up the future, or somehow the future would come up, and it was always kind of a touchy subject.
Yeah.
So that's where we start the book. We yeah. start the book with her... Amidst her breakup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So this is coming back to May of about 2001. She finds herself at a cute little bar, you know, near the apartment that she is living in. And this is where she meets Grant Smith.
Mm, good old Grant Smith. Before yes. we get into him, though, can we talk? Where were we May of 2001?
May 2001. Fourth grade?
Uh-huh.
Is that fourth grade?
Is that fourth grade?
Yeah, I think so. Fourth or fifth grade? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. We were little.
We were babies.
We were babies. Little babies.
I would ride my little Barbie Jeep down to your brother's house.
Oh my gosh, that was like the best.
That was great.
Can we just talk about that for a minute? Jordan had
ride our bikes.
Jordan had like the dopest little Barbie Jeep I have ever
seen. That
was
how my parents convinced me to relocate. Do you know this?
No, you never told me that story.
So I'm originally from Washington. Mm-hmm. Grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I was 6 going on 7 when my family moved to Arizona, and I didn't want to move.
Right.
And my parents said, well, if we move, we'll get you a Barbie Jeep.
And you're like, sold.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't want to move here because of the snakes.
Really?
Yes.
Really? The snakes that we never see.
Grant Smith, everybody. Let's Grant, get back oh, to yeah. back. Okay, Grant yeah. Smith.
Grant. So I also want to mention that when I heard his name, I already knew something was up because Grant Smith is like Jane Doe to me. Like, he just sure. sounds like an alias. Like
or it, what's her name from the show Alias? Sydney Bristow.
Yeah, but that's a normal name. Grant Smith just sounds so, like, are you working with the FBI or are you running from the FBI? Like,
are you in the CIA? Yeah. Who are you?
Who is you? And why are you here?
Right, yes. Exactly.
But their story ends up being cute, so.
Yes. So Cecily meets Grant.
Yes. Yeah, so they end up spending the night together, but it's not like she was thinking that it was going to happen because, you know, you meet someone at a bar and usually right. like how all the other books and movies go, you end up sleeping with that person.
Right.
But their sleeping together was more of a spooning session.
Yeah. Really nothing happened.
Yeah. Nothing happened because they spent, you know, their night at the bar and then they went walking
They were talking.
Around, mm-hmm. Yeah. Making mm-hmm. good conversations. And then they ended up at her apartment. And like I said, they just ended up spooning, which is super cute.
There you go.
Means he's a gentleman with the suspicious name.
I feel like that is the mark of a gentleman to yes. have a sus name.
Yes.
For sure.
Sure.
So the next morning they go out for breakfast. Mm-hmm. We learn a little bit more about Grant. He works in trading stocks. Mm-hmm. We're also introduced at this point to Scotty.
Yes.
Scotty is Cecily's best friend
I
from
just
childhood.
Love him.
I know. Scotty is the perfect gay best friend, and it's wonderful.
Yes.
And obviously, being the best friend, Scotty is the one Cecily shares everything with. Mm-hmm. We learn Scotty was never the biggest fan of Matthew, Cecily's ex, to begin with. I called Scotty a she, sorry. Pronouns. What are you going to do? but Scotty did support Cecily's breakup mm-hmm. as well. And as soon as Cecily started kind of talking to Scotty about Grant, mm-hmm. Scotty was like all for it. Like, yeah. Yes, by all means, rebound honey,
it.
Whatever you need to do.
Yep.
And no, but it turns out to be what seems like so much more than a rebound, mm-hmm. right? Because Grant and Cecily end up having this wonderful summer together.
Yeah.
They're going on dates. They're getting to know each mm-hmm. other. It's very much the honeymoon phase, you know, as you're starting out, getting to know someone.
Right.
And the midst of the summer in midsummer, Grant takes Cecily out to his cabin.
Yeah.
Family cabin in upstate New York.
I thought she was going to get murdered.
Did you really? That's not an Emily Giffen novel, Alicia. Okay.
I know it's not. But listen, he already had a suspicious name. Okay. Suspicious name. Takes her, like, decides to, like, I just met this woman, like, 2 nights ago. I'm going to go take her out.
I'm not going to lie.
Middle of nowhere.
I'm not going to lie. I wondered what was going to happen, too.
Yeah.
I did. I understand. While they're spending the weekend at the cabin, they go hiking. We learn a little bit more about Grant's background. We learn that his mother passed away from ALS,
yes,
Lou Gehrig's, also known as Lou Gehrig's mm-hmm. disease,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and that his brother Byron also is currently battling ALS. Byron is Grant's twin brother,
yes,
and Grant also shares with Cecily there's an opportunity for some treatment, a new clinical trial that's happening mm-hmm. across the pond yes. in the UK. So he tells Cecily he's going to be spending the rest of the mm-hmm. summer in London with Byron.
Yes.
So they continue to exchange emails. Mm-hmm. Eventually, Grant extends an invitation to Cecily to come visit him in London. She decides to bring Scotty along, which is really great. The summer trip to London seems wonderful, and everyone's kind of getting to know everybody. Mm-hmm. Cecily meets Byron. Scotty meets Grant.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, just prior to Scotty and Cecily returning to the States, Byron's health takes a turn for the worst, for sure.
Right.
So as Cecily and Scotty make their way back to New York, mm-hmm. Grant obviously stays behind with his brother. And we learn he makes his way back to the States as of September 10th.
Yes.
2001.
Yes. So as we all know from witnessing the history or just hearing about it, especially with this generation. Yeah, so we know that this is when, of course, September 11th happened.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you when that happened?
I was totally going to ask you, too. Okay, so we were in, like, fourth grade.
Yeah, fourth
right?
fifth grade. Mm-hmm.
I was in Catholic school still at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was getting my uniform on. I was getting ready. I was watching Disney cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the sudden, because this was before school, yeah. obviously. We're on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it was earlier when it happened.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember just hearing my mom scream.
Yeah.
She was watching the news in her bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember hearing her scream and I ran in, "Mommy, mommy, what happened?"
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not. The next question I remember asking her, mm-hmm. I think it was as the second plane hit.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "What movie are you watching?"
Mm, yeah.
Isn't that bananas?
Yeah.
I says, "Mom, what movie are you watching?"
Mm.
My mom goes, "Baby, this is not."
Yeah.
No, this isn't a movie.
Yeah. I remember being in denial like that, too. You know, because obviously we're kids. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I was 9.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, same. We were getting ready for school. We were eating cereal and Mom ended up getting like a phone call and she like turned on the TV and, you know, same thing. And yeah. I, you know, Natalie and I went. And
was she driving the bus at the time? Or was she not doing that yet?
No, she wasn't.
Sidebar tangent. Sorry, yeah, sorry. Listener. You know, Alicia's mom used to be our bus driver.
Yeah, Mom used to be our bus driver. No, she was a bus driver, but she was still going through like the schooling of it.
Oh,
so she
okay.
She wasn't like official yet. Yeah. But yeah, I remember like asking Mom, like, you know, what's going on? And, you know, she was trying to explain it to us. And I'm like, yeah, okay, just some plane just, you know, crashes into a building. Like, who does that? You know, and I did make a joke about it at first because I'm like, there is no way this is
real. You didn't
know. Yeah. And I just remember throughout the entire day of school, it was on the TV. We were not learning anything that day. Like, it was just.
I was in Catholic school, so we did mass.
Yeah.
We were in mass almost all day.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. And just every class that we went to, it was on TV and they're like, "We're just going to sit here and watch and see what happens." And that was our entire
Such
day.
A crazy day.
It was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously mm-hmm. 9/11 happening.
Yes.
Cecily finds out through phone calls
mm-hmm.
from her family,
yeah,
who are obviously gravely concerned for her. She gets multiple calls and text mm-hmm. messages. It really only starts to hit her, and she starts to freak out, mostly because she hasn't heard from Grant.
Yeah.
She thinks it's very odd by this point. They've Ooh. Been together a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't she hear from him?
Yeah. And just to like kind of give like an idea. So she said that, you know, from where her apartment was.
She was on the totally different side of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't start to, I think it was like a couple hours. It mm-hmm. like maybe not even a couple hours, mm-hmm. but shortly as like she learned what was going on.
Yeah.
And as she was talking to family, mm-hmm. she talked about the smoke, the debris, like mm-hmm. everything kind of happening around the city and specifically around her apartment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, like you were saying, Yeah, so, like, at this point, she, like, obviously hasn't heard from Grant. And so she gets, you know, a couple of her colleagues get in touch with her, and they're like, you know, let's go.
We're going around the city. Yeah, just
interview people.
Meeting with people.
Yeah. And this is where Cecily comes across a missing person poster with Grant's picture and name on it. So... Of course, this is also another realization, because when Cecily and Grant were talking, she didn't know that he worked in the Trade Center. She knew that he worked in stocks and, like, he was involved with that kind of work.
That he was a trader.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it wasn't, like, clear where he worked at, and that was another realization. Right. But the phone number that was listed on the poster, it actually led us to Amy, who is Grant's wife.
Say what? Come again?
Yes. It was his wife.
Who?
Huh? Yeah.
That's so awkward.
Super awkward.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, of course, this is a big shock. You know, she spent a beautiful summer with a man, and she was all in love. And then, you know, it turns out that he's actually married. And what way to find out than your missing poster after a tragedy.
Isn't that crazy?
And it's your wife. Like, that's just, I'm sure she must have.
And she, I think Emily Giffen did such a great job of this, but she kind of goes through the back and forth, the up and down of like, did I even know this person at all?
Yeah.
How could this have happened? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, though, Cecily decides the best way for her to go through this process is to connect with Amy, Grant's widow. So she meets up with her for an interview, tells her she's writing a piece on the aftermath of 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, covering fallen individuals of 9/11.
Yeah.
So, wow. Cecily is also dealing with this. Mm-hmm. As 9/11 happened, Matthew, if you'll remember, listener, Cecily's ex, reaches out and reconnects with her. Basically just a, hey, checking in with you. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? I mean, I would imagine so many citizens of New York, I would imagine so many people probably did this. That was likely the thing to do. And they decide they want to meet up for coffee. They want to continue, you know, kind of repairing their relationship, giving it a second chance, giving it another try. Because it's almost as if at this point that Matthew has had a change of heart.
Yeah.
If you will. And so Cecily is juggling all of that, getting to know Amy, Grant's widow, and also figuring out this relationship with Matthew.
Yeah.
It's not really even like she wants to be with Matthew. I think that some of it was a matter of convenience. Some of it was manipulation. Obviously, when you're in that headspace, you're seeking comfort.
Yeah.
Right? You're doing whatever you can as you're processing, grieving, searching for healing.
Yeah.
I think there was a part of Cecily as our main character here that gravitated towards that. Here is someone that's familiar.
Yeah. Right.
And what better way to deal with all of the things going on than to return to what I know?
Yeah. To, like, what's familiar, you know, from before. And, yeah, no, I definitely, you know, agree with what you said. Yeah, I mean, I could only imagine, you know, going through, you know, just kind of going back with meeting this person, having an amazing summer together, falling in love, and then 9/11 happens, and just... And it's not, and a part of it is, you know, Grant and, oh, I lost him. He's dead now. But it's also just the 9/11 part of it itself was just so huge.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, a terrorist attack happened and you were literally right around the corner from it.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it brought New Yorkers mm-hmm. together, especially. Yeah. I mean, it brought Americans together overall. Definitely. But specifically New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. You hear stories about that all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And even like the documentaries that you know, that are still coming out, you know, today and stuff.
20 years later.
Yeah, exactly. But it just kind of all goes down to, you know, like you said, just what's familiar. And she was familiar with Matthew and he was there and that was her comfort. And she was like, okay, like, hold me.
Yeah, we'll do what we can to figure this out. Because obviously Grant wasn't there.
Right.
Right. As much as it seemed like Grant was going to be this rebound for Cecily, he really wasn't. Her feelings for him were so strong. Yeah. And yeah.
yeah. So, of course, with all of that, you know, she was pretty broken, you know, upset with all the loss and everything that was going on. So in the midst of all of this happening, Matthew decides to propose and
say what?
Yeah. Which, you know, of course, you know, he was like, I in his head, I'm sure it was, you know, tragic thing happened. I know I wasn't ready to do this before, but now, you know, I am ready.
Sure.
You know, because I'm sure it's almost a feeling of like, I almost lost you, you know.
Totally. You know, totally.
Yeah. But also in that, we also find out that Cecily is pregnant. Shocker. Mind blown. But yeah, so we end up finding out that this actually is like much of a, it's such a deep issue for Cecily, because the reality of it is she doesn't know who the father is, because the night that Grant had returned before 9/11 happened, he came, went to see Cecily, they slept together, and, you know, then day after, everything happened, you know, so we don't know if it's...
And then it was within, like, a week or two of that she was with Matthew, no?
Yep. Yeah. Right. So it was just back to back. So she was like, okay. So with that being on her mind of who's the father, you know, and still grieving and then also still talking with Amy and, you know, all this stuff, they're in the process of planning, you know, they're planning their engagement party and then they have to plan a wedding and a baby shower. And then we also learned that Amy and Matthew were actually, they were friends, like they knew each other, you know, before too.
Family friends.
Yeah, their families knew each other.
Yeah.
Which was also another thing too. So it's like, oh, so he, so Matthew knew like who Grant was.
Yep. Didn't know him very well, but knew who he was.
Yeah. So knew that. So, of course, with this, Cecily just really leans into Scotty for support. And I'm so glad that she had that, because
same.
I feel like if she didn't have Scotty to, you know, blurt all these things that she's feeling inside, I think that this would have been a really big turmoil for her, for sure.
Well, this is something I think Emily Giffen does so well in all of her books. You see the connections, the relationships, the friendships. Yeah. She does a really great job of portraying what that is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
I love it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, definitely. I do like the maturity of it, too. Like, the way that she wrote it, the way that the characters are and everything like that, she did a really good job putting that together. So yeah, that was pretty good. That was really good about all of her books, really. She has a good maturity about the characters and stuff. Like, it's not some high school drama, you know, adults here, right. You know, so it was pretty nice. But yeah, no, go ahead.
So Amy and Cecily, they have this weird, strange bond, friendship that continues to grow. And so much so, in fact, that Amy offers to assist in planning the wedding and encourages the idea of this, quote unquote, like, quickie wedding.
Yeah.
As soon as Matthew and Cecily share with her that Cecily is pregnant.
Yeah.
So, pretty big deal. And again, coming back to this wrestling over not really sure the paternity of the baby.
Yeah.
It's clear that with Grant's passing, Cecily is just not feeling at peace. She's not feeling very settled in her mind, in her heart. Mm-hmm. She, you can kind of tell she's given over the idea, you know, regardless, like, Grant is not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be Matthew's baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a life with this man, with this child, transitioning into being a wife and a mother.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a part of her that says, I want to have some type of closure here,
mm-hmm.
which leads her to then reach out to Byron.
Yes.
Who we figure at this point in the book is still across the pond, potentially, not having been healthy enough to travel back. I can't remember if Grant brought Byron back with him. He may not have. He really may not have.
Yeah, that's something that we...
I can't remember. Have. I'd have to go back and look in there. But anyway, she ends up exchanging emails. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, what? Maybe... Yeah, actually, I think Grant did bring Byron back.
That's what I was going to say.
And I'll say why in a minute.
Yeah.
So she reaches out to Byron. They exchange some emails.
Mm-hmm.
And Cecily just decides, you know what? I'm going to take a trip out to the cabin.
Yeah.
Like, I had an amazing weekend here with this incredible man. I just want to be, I want to reminisce. I want to be reminded of what was there.
Yeah.
Because I know that there had to be some part of it that while this man was married, while he had an entire life outside of our relationship, that he, that it was real.
Yeah.
Well, tell the listener what we discover there, Alicia.
So she shows up in, you know, beautiful cabin. And it turns out that it wasn't Byron that was responding to those emails. It was actually Grant.
What?
Yep. So this is where, this is what I was thinking, because when you were like mentioning if Byron came back or not, didn't he mention that he brought Byron back?
And to the cabin.
To the cabin, because that's where he wanted to die.
Yes. So we learn Grant actually is alive.
Yes.
He took Byron to the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And Byron died before the end of September.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Grant eventually tells Cecily?
Like he's been gone for like some time now.
At this point, correct.
Because
this is a couple months. Well, this would probably be by like October, early November.
Yeah.
At this point that she discovers Grant is alive.
Yes.
So mind blown when I read that.
I know,
was like, holy crap.
Well, yeah, because she was... She went in there and she was like, you know, Byron, like, are you here? And she kind of panicked because she was like, oh, crap. Like, you know, Amy obviously didn't check on him. So maybe he did die. And, you know, and so she decided to go up into the loft. And that's where she ended up finding Grant.
Crazy. And I felt for Grant in this moment. You know, he's trying to explain to Cecily how his marriage to Amy was headed for a divorce, whether Cecily was in the picture or not. And once Cecily did enter the picture, he knew for sure he needed to take the steps to end his marriage and wanted to make their relationship work.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, things got in the way, such as Byron's health. And also, this is where it did. It got really weird. Grant was very ambiguous when explaining to Cecily that he was actually also in deep trouble with the government.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really go into why, but Cecily also doesn't give him an opportunity really to, because she just leaves.
Yeah.
And she heads back to the city from the cabin, decides that she's going to explain everything to Matthew.
Yep.
So she reveals that to him, even so far as to share with Matthew the fact that it was Grant she was in a relationship with while they were broken up, while they were apart. And this really doesn't go over well.
No.
It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Because at this point, it brings it back to paternity. Matthew reveals, you know, hey, I need some time to digest this information. But also, like, it would be really hard for me if this baby is not mine.
Yeah.
And does he demand a paternity test right then? Mm-hmm. Or it's not until the next conversation that they have about it.
Yeah.
I think they have another conversation
they
about
do.
It.
Mm-hmm.
And he demands a paternity test.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up doing some research. I don't think we shared this yet, listener, so I apologize. But Matthew is a lawyer.
Yeah.
He's a New York City lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And does some investigating into Grant. And he finds out it was insider trading that Grant was guilty of or is guilty of.
Mm-hmm.
So as they kind of have a couple more conversations mm-hmm. about this, they decide to hold off on planning the wedding.
Yeah.
They don't totally call off the engagement initially, but it's kind of clear as the holidays are coming up
mm-hmm.
that that's probably the direction that they're headed.
Yeah, because they were also, like, planning on, like, a wedding kind of around that time, too.
Like, January, February.
Yeah, so at this point, they were like, you know, there was just too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, yeah.
And Cecily also has a conversation with Amy, who doesn't she reveal to Cecily that she knew
mm-hmm.
that it was that Amy was having an affair with Grant?
Yeah. Yeah.
But at this point, and here was where Alicia and I actually had a conversation about this, listener. It's so hard as far as Amy's character is concerned in this mm-hmm. book. I wanted to like her.
Yeah.
I really did.
Mm-hmm.
She was so shallow.
She was.
And superficial.
Yeah.
And you didn't get that impression of her at first.
Yeah.
But the conversations that Cecily and Amy would have about Byron, or just how quickly Amy could move on to flirting with the guy at the bar
mm-hmm.
or any of those things, it was very much like, wow, like.
This. Yeah, she made it so clear at like.
When they decided to end their friendship, she made it so clear that mm-hmm. it really.
There really wasn't there between her and Grant anymore. So. It was, like, in a way for Cecily to get that part of a closure.
Sure.
But, you know, she also was lied to still, and he was alive this whole time. But regardless.
Right. That's crazy. So Cecily decides to head back to Wisconsin.
Yes.
For the holidays. Yes. Ends up deciding that she's going to stay there,
mm-hmm.
at least for a temporary long term, where she can get the support of her family. She can get the support of Scotty, mm-hmm. especially as she's going through her pregnancy.
Yeah, she kind of figured at this point, you know, what better way to raise a child, you know, not doing it alone, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing it with family. And they were totally on board with that. So, you know, I think that transition was the best for her.
I agree.
And while she was in Wisconsin, like a few months later, we find out that Grant had actually tracked Cecily down.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to visit her.
Yeah.
So he explains that he has to do some jail time, of course, for his illegal trading. But like once he's out, he wants to get back with her.
If she'll have him.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing with the whole like trading, you know, he was getting this money and, you know, of course he wasn't doing anything bad with it. You know, it was money to help get his brother treatments and, you know, things like that. So, I mean, yeah, what he did was wrong, of course, but, you know, it was completely all terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And so even while Grant is serving his time,
mm-hmm.
they put in the work to rebuild their relationship.
Yep.
And the book actually fast forwards towards, I think it's like 4 years later, 5 years later.
Yeah.
And they have actually returned to New York City,
yep.
where Cecily now works as a reporter or journalist with the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet their daughter, Alice.
Yes.
So sweet. And we do find out through a couple of flashbacks and from explanations, obviously, from Cecily's point of view that Grant was the father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did get a paternity test. And I think actually, too, something that was interesting, she writes that because Grant couldn't be there, that Matthew was actually there
mm-hmm.
for Alice's birth.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting and
it was
cool.
Very mature of Matthew, considering how much of a jerk he was. Like, I'm not talking about after the fact that he found out everything. Of course, he had every right to be mad.
Sure.
I'm sure that, you know, but I'm talking about before he found out about all this. He just was not a decent human, like, to me. Like, he just came off as such a jerk. And I'm like, okay, so I'm glad that there was at least that kind of sense of maturity on his part. Like, even though kid's not mine, I'm still going to be there for you. So I liked that little touch because it kind of sensed like, okay, he grew up a little bit. He's not so much of a bachelor jerk anymore, in my opinion.
Well, my eyes. One thing that we probably didn't do a great job of touching on that we can talk about for a second is Matthew and Cecily were raised so differently.
Yeah.
She's this Midwestern heartland girl.
Yeah.
And Matthew's from the city.
Yeah.
Very entitled, very privileged.
Yeah.
And you can even see that in there's the scene with the engagement party where they reveal to their families that they're having the baby, that Cecily is pregnant, and just seeing the different reactions, the different responses, you know, amongst the families.
Right.
It was very odd.
It was.
But anyway, none of that matters because Cecily is with Grant and they're happy.
Yes, they do.
And the book ends with Grant taking Cecily to the bar that they met at and proposing.
Yeah.
So they decide to get married.
They do. A little happily ever after all the turmoil that he put her through.
Oy, oy, oy. Well, Emily Giffen's books always, I can count on her for a great ending.
Yeah.
I really can.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that.
Yes, indeed.
Plot twists or not.
Exactly.
So, I definitely feel like this was one of the, this was one of the better ones that we've read, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, this is in my...
I know you thought, listener, after The Hating Game
last month. I thought we weren't talking about that anymore.
I literally had someone say to me, like, could you have bashed that book? Even worse.
Probably. If we would have watched the movie.
It's now on Hulu, by the way.
I don't think I can stomach that movie after that book.
Would you watch this if it was made into a movie
or a TV show?
Yes,
absolutely. The Hating Game, I you know, I still have the book, but I was debating about putting it in the oven with it on high heat. But you know what? That's a different story.
Are you listening to this? Don't let her do that, okay? I'm talking to Jermaine here for a second. Just donate the book. That's probably what I'm going to do.
I'm just going to throw it in the trash because that's what it's where it deserves to be, in the trash, along with some old mold,
that's tough,
bread and soup.
Sally Thorne, if you're listening to this, I deeply apologize.
I don't.
Your book does not deserve to go in the trash.
Sally Thorne, your book was garbage.
You're the worst. Holy Toledo.
She was bad. She was psychotic on so many levels.
I know. Okay, we don't need to.
Okay, we're not doing this.
No.
Don't bring me back.
We moved on. We read Emily Giffen. We are happy. Dang it.
We are happy people.
Hi, yi, yi.
Butterflies and rainbows.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Do you want to share with listener what we're reading for next month?
Yes. So we are reading Black Cake
by Charmaine Wilkerson, I think is how you say it.
Sounds right. So I've been slacking a little bit on reading this. I've just been so tired, but no, I need to definitely step up my game and start reading it because it's been really, really good from what I've read so far.
It's so good.
Yeah, that's what you've been telling me. So I need to step up and I need to start reading it. So I'm going to do that this week.
Please do.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful. But yes, that's our next book that we'll be covering for the month of May.
Yes.
Super excited about that.
Yes.
Do we have anything else to tell listeners?
I don't.
Desperation Minute.
Desperation Minute.
Leave us a review.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a 5-star rating.
We could call it
comment
something different
like
than desperation.
I got that from another podcast that they do, and I'm all for it. Listen, I'll be desperate.
We can say,
like it, comment, you know, it, do whatever you need to do.
Non-shameful plug. Not desperation.
We're
not...
You want to call it a non-shameful plug?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Because we're not desperate. I mean,
I'm pretty sure now at this point it's gone past a minute. See, if you call it a desperation minute and you just leave it to 60 seconds.
Unshameful plug minute.
Oh, my Lord. But yes, please email us. Follow us on Instagram. You can find me at Miss Jordan Alexis.
And you can find me at Alicia Contreras.
We also have an Instagram page, Tales Over Tales Podcast.
Yes.
And an email address.
Yes, which is talesovertalespod@gmail.com.
Please like, comment, review. Yes. If you have any book suggestions, we are all for those.
Yes.
Definitely want to build on that repertoire, although I feel like my TBR, my to-be-read list...
is ridiculous.
And I'm pretty much resolved to say it always will be.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, at least we have a good, steady list for the next, like, 5 years.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, sounds
pretty
good.
Pretty much. And until then, stay reading.
Stay classy.
And stay drinking. Only if you're not pregnant.
Yes, if you're not pregnant, then please do not drink.
Bye. Bye.